So Hannah, I have another funny vet story.
All right, go for it.
I was reminded of this based on what you were telling me about your new kitten.
Oh, yes, Pippin.
Who you have, and you've been enjoying your kitten for quite a while. And I've been actually over to your house several times and never bothered to confirm what you told me, which is that Pippin is a male cat.
That's what I was told.
And now you're coming under the impression that
I'm pretty sure a female cat. I'm pretty sure that, yeah, that Pippin is a girl.
Yeah. Because you haven't noticed any evidence of him being a male cat.
No.
Yeah.
No evidence. So
next time I'm up, I will check for you and confirm this. But that's really funny because you said, oh, I got this male cat. Well, the person who gave you the cat said, yeah, he's this cat who we think he's too dumb to survive as a farm cat because he keeps like following moving vehicles and, you know, he's mm-hmm. going to get hit and run over. So he's got to be a house cat. So you took your friend's word for it that this was a male cat. I took mm-hmm. your word for it that this is a male cat. And now you're coming to realize, wait a second, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But I want you to know that many veterinarians have also succumbed to the same thing in a clinical setting where they just sort of take the word of the person who brings the cat in. That, yeah, this is my male cat or this is my female cat. Like with dogs, it's painfully obvious whether you've got a male or a female. They're just so out there. But cats are a little more, they're very much more discreet. And you have to actually look to see what you're dealing with, male cat or a female cat. And I had this interesting talk from a colleague of mine who shall remain anonymous because of how embarrassing this is. All of the details, personal details, are either changed or not mentioned. And she said to me once, Claire, did I ever tell you about the time that I tried to spay a male cat? And I said, no, I haven't heard this story. And she's like, okay, let me tell you this. I had this friend from college, you know, known this person and knew that I was a veterinarian and lived in the area and said, hey, I got a new kitten. You know, she's up to date on all of her shots. You know, she had them all already, but she's around 6 months old. So that's the time that she's supposed to be spayed, right? And my colleague's like, yeah, you know, perfect. 6 months, 7 months is perfect time to spay your cat. And so the friend said, okay, let's set up an appointment. I'll bring her in and you can spay her, you know, and my colleague is like, yeah, awesome. You know, bring her in. So comes to the day where the cat comes in to be spayed that morning and they take the cat and, you know, they did a rather abbreviated pre-anesthetic physical exam because after all, this is the friend's cat. Nothing's going to be no problem. You know, even as a professional clinician, you get super casual when it comes to like your friends or family's pets. Right. They maybe, you know, she said, yeah, I listened to the heart and lungs, but I didn't take the temperature, notably discovered that the kitten is in good health, up to date on all the shots, and anesthetized the cat, prepped the cat for surgery, which for a female cat involves, you know, laying them on the table, shaving the abdomen, scrubbing the site for surgery, and making an abdominal incision going into the abdomen to find the reproductive tract so that it can be removed. And there's an instrument called a spay hook that you use so that you can make a kind of a smaller incision and you make the incision, you put the spay hook in there and you sort of fish around and you come up with a uterine horn, much in the same way that I see you coming up with spaghetti noodles with your fork as you eat.
Yeah.
As I'm telling the story. So
yeah, because why would I eat unless I'm also recording a podcast at the same time?
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, so my colleague is, you know, performing this surgery and going in with the spay hook and attempting to, you know, get the one of the uterine horns up out of the abdomen so that she can spay this cat. And she's in there like, what in the world? She's doing the surgery, digging around in there, trying to find the uterus of this cat, and even extends the abdominal incision a little bit. So it's like, what is going on here? This goes on for like 20 minutes. And believe me, a lot of veterinarians have had this problem where you're in there with the spay hook and you just can't hook the little tube that is the horn of the uterus. Interesting anatomical note. Dogs and cats have a Y-shaped uterus. Two parts of it. Like, you know how a human being has a single sort of compartment of the uterus?
Mm-hmm.
Dogs and cats have two dogs and cats storage compartment, storage compartment.
Storage compartment. Exactly.
Dogs and cats have two portions that go up from the cervix and up like a Y, like this. And they're called uterine horns. And that's because dogs and cats are litter bearing animals. Mm-hmm. And they have a bunch of puppies or kittens in each of these horns of the Y, as it were. But then this veterinarian has been working on this for about 20 minutes and says, wait a second. And she says to her veterinary technician who's been monitoring this surgery, she says to her, would you do me a favor and lift the drape and check under this cat's tail? And sure enough, no wonder I cannot find the uterine horn, because there is none in this cat. There are two big testicles right there under the tail. And we made a bit of a mistake in not verifying the sex of this cat before we started this operation. So we had to sew the cat up. And reposition everything and then castrate the cat instead of spay this cat. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the friend felt rather stupid. And the veterinarian
probably not as stupid as the veterinarian felt.
That's
probably.
Right. And so the moral of the story, my friend told me, is like, never take the pet owner's word for it about basically anything, especially the whether or not the cat is a male or a female. So that's, you know, so the other thing that you can learn from this is, even when as a veterinarian or a medical professional of any kind, you're dealing with your friend or your family member, just try to forget that and go through the entire process that you would do for a stranger's cat or dog.
Yeah. Well,
because if it was a stranger, you would definitely verify, yeah, we have a male or if we have a female. And just along those lines, I've had many instances where I have had to correct a pet owner about the sex of their cat. And like one of my favorite clients was a female cat named Larry. I love that.
They kept the name. They didn't change the name.
Yeah.
Kind of like a wooden leg named Smith, a female cat named Larry.
The Splanknicks podcast is produced by Claire T. Walker and Hannah Kubiak. You can contact us by emailing splanknickspodcast@gmail.com. We welcome episode topic suggestions, personal anecdotes, and corrections for those rare occasions when we don't know what we're talking about. Visit splanknicks.com for show notes and transcripts of all our episodes, and follow us on Instagram @splanknicks_podcast. Claire T. Walker is an independent author with 2 self-published books, The Keys of Death and Startling Figures. Learn more about Claire and her books at clairetwalker.com.